You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Setter, and joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue. As we're going to talk through the latest in the quarterback carousel, it seems like right now, even before the offseason even started, really, for the Colts, we're still a month away from free agency. We're still about 2.5 months away from the draft. The Colts quarterback rumors still continue to percolate, Stephen. We heard Matthew Stafford for about 2.5 weeks before he went to the Rams. The Colts reportedly made a very competitive offer, Matthew Stafford. But now it seems like it's all on Carson Wentz now, Stephen. We've heard a lot of smoke around Carson Wentz and the Colts. Reportedly, a lot of reports, whether it be Mike Garofalo or multiple Philadelphia Eagles beat writers, even Ian Rapoport of NFL Network has mentioned this as well. It seems like it's going to be down to the Colts or the Bears for Carson Wentz, the Eagles quarterback, 28 years old. There's reportedly, according to Peter King, as well, the Carolina Panthers are the mystery third team in this as well. So three teams really battling it out for Carson Wentz. We all know that Chris Bauer won't get in a bidding war here. So let me get your thoughts on this. We haven't talked about Carson Wentz in about a week or so on the podcast, Stephen, because honestly, I don't think either of us really thought it was a realistic option with the way the quarterback market was going. Wentz had a really bad year in Philadelphia, was benched about 3/4 of the way through the season for Jalen Hurts, the second-round pick out of Oklahoma. And then Wentz and that relationship there with Doug Peterson, the Eagles organization, just soured right then and there, Stephen. So what's your thoughts on Carson Wentz and these reports really just continue to percolate out of Philadelphia that the Colts seem to be in on Carson Wentz right now?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the Colts are in on Carson Wentz. Chris Ballard's going to do his due diligence throughout the year. That's what he always does. He makes the calls. He does all the dirty work to try to figure out how to make this team better. When it comes to Carson Wentz, I would guess that Chris Ballard has probably made his final offer to Philadelphia, and right now all of the Eagles, all of these leaks about teams and trying to get, you know, that there's a bidding war and that this team's offering this and this and that. And I would hedge my bet that those are all coming from within the Eagles organization to try to get a team to bid against themselves, because, you know, the reports were going into this weekend that Howie Roseman and the Eagles were looking for the Matthew Stafford package and thinking that they were going to get 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a player. And I said when I first heard that, I go, I think that the Eagles might not realize that they're the team with Jared Goff in this scenario. They're not the team with Matthew Stafford. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts offer being, if they are set on trading 21, being, you know, trading 21, but then getting Wentz in 37 back from the Eagles, so that early second round pick. And the reason why I would say that that would make sense is because Chris Ballard said in the past, when it comes to the draft, that there's about 10 to 15 blue chip prospects that they really give a round one grade to. And then everybody from basically 16 to 20 on back to about 50 have round two grades. And so my guess is that Chris Ballard would value, if he can get Carson Wentz and pick 37 for 21, he would potentially make that trade. I think the difference in value is like a late second round, early third round pick, which is about what I thought it would cost for Wentz. My biggest concern for Wentz is that he's now 5 years in the league and he hasn't progressed. He had that MVP caliber season in his second or third year when Philadelphia ended up winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles after Wentz got hurt towards ACL at the end of that season. But since then, he's never fully recovered from that ACL injury, and that's pretty concerning. And the other thing to consider, and probably my biggest concern about Wentz, is his ball security issues. It's not just interceptions, it's fumbling. I saw a stat, I think it was Ian Kenyon the other day that put it out, that said Wentz had fumbled on 58 times in 68 career games, or something along those lines. Like, he is a turnover machine, and it's not just interceptions. So now, saying all that, in the year that he blew up the whole league and played at an MVP caliber level, he had 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I don't think he had the fumbling issues that year either. And so under the right circumstances, I think that Carson Wentz isn't a bad option for the Colts. I just think that the Philadelphia Eagles are sitting there asking way too much. And now are kind of panicking, because if the Colts bow out and say, look, this is our final offer, this is all you're going to get from us, and they're trying to whip up interest from some other teams, I'm not sure the other interest is there. So they might be able to make a trade with the Bears and get 20 for Wentz straight up. But I feel like Chris Ballard's made his final offer to the Eagles, and that's going to be it for Chris Ballard. He's not going to bid against himself, and he's not going to get into a bidding war and just completely mortgage the future of the team on what ultimately would be a 2-year gamble. So that's kind of where I'm at with Carson Wentz. It's the rumors are heating up. I think you'll probably see something happen within the next day or two. Definitely by the end of the week, you'll probably hear something announced. The Eagles really have to make a move by like March 19th. And that's really kind of where their drop dead date is, because at that point there becomes another roster bonus that kicks in that the Eagles would then be on the hook for in terms of their salary cap.
Yeah, looking over the compensation that was reportedly out there for the Eagles initially, I know Mike Garofalo has been all over this for NFL Network. He mentioned that they wanted a Matthew Stafford-type package, which was 2 future first-round picks, including one this year. Also, like a late-round pick, whether it be this year or next year as well. So even more than really what the Rams got for – or excuse me, the Lions got for Matthew Stafford, which ended up being 2 future first-round picks, a 3rd, and Jared Goff. So right around the same lines of a Stafford package. And for a guy like Carson Wentz, who, of course, had a really good year in 2017 with Frank Reich and all those coaches in Philadelphia, like you mentioned, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and only 13 games for Carson Wentz, was on his way to win MVP in his second year in the NFL before he tore his ACL. Nick Foles obviously wanted to win the Super Bowl for them that year. It's really been inconsistent from there for Wentz. He's obviously had really good years as far as keeping the ball out of harm's way until this year, when he had 15 interceptions in 12 games. Like you mentioned, Steven, really good number as far as the fumbles go. Just really bad ball security when it comes to not having protection in front of him. But Steven Holder of The Athletic, who Steven and Zach Kiefer, who are the Colts PRs for The Athletic, they don't put a lot of news out there as far as breaking news goes. When they do and they put a lot of intel out there, I believe them pretty wholeheartedly, because obviously those guys are very plugged in at West 56th Street and they have really good sources there. And when they report something, I really take a lot of credence to it, Steven, because Steven put out a report earlier this morning on Monday morning, and Zach also backed up as well. They wrote a dual story on The Athletic if you guys want to go check it out. But the Colts have maintained interest in Carson Wentz this whole time, and they believe in the organization. They can fix his problems, according to Holder and Kiefer there. What's your thoughts on that? Because if they do believe they can fix Carson Wentz, Steven, I feel there's a legitimate chance they could actually make a deal here.
Yeah, and honestly, they wouldn't make a deal unless they felt like they could fix him, because – regardless of what you give up, you don't want to give up valuable assets for something that you don't think that will work. So that makes a lot of sense to me. I know what you're talking about with what Steven Holder said. It's what he said was that the Colts are definitely in on Carson Wentz, and that the compensation the Eagles initially asked for was 2 first round picks plus some. And they mentioned that the Colts would never pay that. And I think we all understand that the Colts were never going to pay that for Carson Wentz, because at that point, you might as well just throw a bunch more picks at Houston and try to get him, or throw a bunch of picks at Dallas and try to get Dak Prescott. At that point, just throw picks if you're just tossing picks out there. The interesting thing I thought about that is exactly what you said, that the Colts were confident they can quote unquote fix him. And if Frank Reich is able to, and also Press Taylor, who was with the Eagles during that time, that there's a lot of people within the Colts organization now that were with Carson Wentz when he excelled. And Carson Wentz needs to get out of that situation in Philadelphia, because it has become toxic to him. and talks to the organization, which again, really kind of reduces the leverage that Philadelphia has in this situation. My guess is that the Colts are, if a first round pick is involved, like I said, I think it's 21 and then it's Wentz, and the Colts are getting that second round pick back from the Eagles. If they're looking at trying to, you know, get two first round picks, then I don't know how the Eagles could logically claim that with how bad the past 2 years of tape have been on Carson Wentz. Like that's the really difficult thing for me to look at and say, yeah, okay, this makes sense to give up two first round picks for him. He's not Matthew Stafford. And now if the Colts can fix him, then this is just another brilliant move from Chris Ballard. It's like the DeForest Buckner trade last year. It's like, you know, trading back with the Jets back in 2017, I think, when getting Quentin Nelson and then Braden Smith and then Darius Leonard all in one draft. Chris Ballard has made a lot of great moves. And as with any other situation, when it comes to free agency or draft picks or player trades, he has a limit and he's not going to go above it. He's not going to get into bidding wars, and I just don't see him doing it here. But yeah, if the Colts think that they can fix him and Carson Wentz ends up becoming a top 10 quarterback, even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, that's all you really need with the offensive line that they've got in front of him and the skill position players, if they're able to bring in a true wide receiver one, because it looks like T.Y. Hilton is potentially on his way out. So that's all Carson Wentz needs. He'll finally have a really great offensive line in front of him, a great running game with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, and then some really talented skill position players that he just didn't have in Philadelphia. So if they can fix him, then whatever they give up will be worth it. But we won't know that until, you know, a year, 2 years down the road.
Are you ready to place some future bets on football, or whether it be college sports, NBA basketball? BetOnline.ag is the place you need to go. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive 50% off welcome bonus for your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you know about the Colts here on Locked On Colts, but what about the rest of the sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well at Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, the host of Locked On Packers, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast or video podcast. Yeah, like you mentioned, Steven, obviously Frank Reich, the former Eagles offensive coordinator, the head coach here for the Colts. Press Taylor recently hired by the Colts in the same position he had in Philadelphia, which was the passing game coordinator, also a very inside guy as far as quarterbacks go. So he's really been in Carson Wentz here his whole career. A big fan of Wentz as well, reading a lot of stories about Press Taylor today and Wentz, their relationship. Also, Mike Greer, the wide receivers coach for the Eagles, former offensive coordinator, former wide receivers coach as well for the Eagles. So three of the top four guys on offense there, when Nick Sirianni be gone, Marcus Brady, of course, the new offensive coordinator. Outside of Brady, three of the four most important guys on offense in that staff, Steven, are Wentz fans. So you have to imagine that if they believe him, if they could convince Marcus Brady, maybe even Marcus Brady is a Wentz fan for all we know, who knows, after diving into the tape. But there's a lot of connections here between Philadelphia and Indianapolis and the coaching staff, for obvious reasons of Frank Reich being the head coach here. But the recent hire, Press Taylor, too, it really catches my eye because those guys have such a good relationship. And you have to wonder, moving forward here, if he was to come to Indianapolis, I think it's really in place here for him to have a really successful career. But let me ask you this, Steven, about Wentz before we dive into some compensation for him. I mean, he's been a really inconsistent player the last couple of years once Frank Reich left. Really, he lost his magic touch, so to say, whether it be injuries and key moments or whether it be just inconsistent play from time to time. Really bad year this year in 2020, which led him being benched after throwing 15 picks in 13 games. I mean, like you just rattled off there, Steven, you had the running game here with Jonathan Taylor, who's a better player than Miles Sanders. You have a lot better weapons, in my opinion. You have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's been a bust in Philadelphia. Jalen Reagor didn't show much in year one for Philadelphia. Alshon Jeffrey's washed up there. The offensive line's not as good as it is in Indianapolis. You have the defense that's better than it is in Philadelphia. I can see why the Colts may can convince themselves, Steven, why it could work with Wentz, because it's really like a 2 or 3 year trial run here, because Wentz's dead cap obviously is massive in 2021. But after that, it's $6 million in 2023. I think it's $15 million a year before that. So it's pretty much a 2 or 3 year trial run for Carson Wentz at the same amount of money that Philip Rivers would have made over the last couple of years. Let's say if he was in his mid-30s himself and Wentz is only 28 years old. I could see a lot of positives, or really a lot of people in the Colts organization there talk about Wentz that could really talk themselves into doing this, Steven. So, I mean, from a team situation standpoint, I feel like the ecosystem is really a lot better than it is in Philadelphia for Wentz to thrive.
Yeah, I'd say the ecosystem is a lot better and the culture is a lot better in the Colts locker room. And the media is a lot better in Indianapolis than what it is in Philadelphia. And the fans are a lot nicer. I've been to an Eagles game, and I went to the Colts Eagles game in Philadelphia, and I sat next to Zach Pascal's family. And the fans in Philadelphia are just wretched. Like, they are just mean. It's pouring rain and they're sitting there and screaming, cursing at me and my wife as we're walking through the stadium, and you can't see what jersey we're wearing except that we've got a little blue shield at the top of our Colts jersey, and they were losing it. The fans in Indianapolis are so much nicer. But I sidetracked there, but yeah, the whole idea of Carson Wentz here in Indianapolis, you know, as we talk about it more and as I get more comfortable with the compensation being more realistic, rather than 2 first-round picks. It's 2 first-round picks, it's not worth it to me, given that they just benched him in Philadelphia for poor play. But like I said, if they can really put the pieces around him, like, this is a much better situation for Carson Wentz. And to have a guy in here that is another guy that Frank Reich trusts, like Philip Rivers, and not to mention the salary cap implications that you mentioned, is, you know, you're definitely going to, if you trade for him, you're definitely having him on your roster this year for 2021. And then in 2022, you're right, it's about a $15, $16 million dead cap charge. And then after that, it's like $6 million. So you effectively get a 2-year cycle out of him. Let him compete with Jacob Eason for the backup or for the starting spot and see what happens. And if Jacob Eason ends up becoming a great player and learning under Carson Wentz and really taking the time and getting to see those live bullets, which is something that Chris Ballard has talked about they've lacked with the Jacob Eason evaluation, then it gives them an opportunity to make a decision here in 2 years that's going to be best for the franchise. And not only that, you free up a bunch of salary cap space and you're not paying Philip Rivers $25 million and you don't have a $15 to $20 million cap charge for Jacoby Brissett as well. So I'm gradually working myself to like the idea of signing Carson Wentz if the Colts really truly believe that they can fix him, because there's a reason he went number 2 overall. He has talent. He's got the ability to be a great player in the right system, in the right environment, and he's mobile enough. You know, if they, the one major concern I have, like I mentioned earlier, was the fumbling issues. The Colts, if they don't address the left tackle position either early in the draft or with a big name free agent, then that's a big red flag to me, because yeah, okay, you can swing cover or swing your blocking assignments over to give that left tackle a little protection. But if, you know, Carson Wentz, he typically keeps that ball a little lower. You know, those edge rushers know it, that his grasp on the ball, he'll let it go sometimes, and just kind of let it hang out there. And fumbling is turnovers in general is one of Chris Ballard's big no-nos. So that's my only real major concern with Carson Wentz is the turnovers. Outside of that, the guy is smart. The guy can make the throws. He's able to get out and do everything that Frank Reich really likes in his offensive system. And so as a whole, it would probably be a good move if they can get the right compensation for him. And I don't see Chris Ballard, I keep reiterating this, but I don't see Chris Ballard overpaying and giving up more than a first round pick if they don't get something back in return. That's ultimately what it comes down to, is compensation. If you can get the right compensation for Carson Wentz, then yeah, make the trade. He's got talent. He's got the ability. If you feel like you can fix him and coach him up and get yourself an MVP caliber player for ultimately what ends up being about a late second, early third round pick, then absolutely you make that trade, you know, 7 days of the week.
Last few here on Wednesday before we dive into the second part of our show, talk about T.Y. Hilton. Looking at the compensation here in a possible Wentz deal, a really interesting report from Mike Kay over at the Philadelphia Inquirer, who's really been plugged into these Wentz rumors. He has been really on top of this stuff over the last few weeks. He added today, this morning, on Monday morning, talking about the Wentz trade. And he said, based on my conversations about Carson Wentz market, I wouldn't be surprised if a potential trade involved multiple non-Wentz players as well, which really caught my eye, Steven, because we've heard a lot of smoke around multiple Philadelphia players, whether it be Zach Ertz, the tight end, seems to be on his way out. He's on the final year of his contract in 2021. Maybe it's like a guy like Andre Dillard, the former first-round pick in 2018 at left tackle, who didn't even play a single snap in 2020. He got benched for Jason Peters if he moved from left guard to left tackle. Or maybe being thrown a pass rusher like a Brandon Graham, a veteran, or a Derek Barnett, who's entering the final year of his rookie deal as well. Some interesting names there based on Mike Kay's report, just talking about if there's multiple non-Wentz players as well involved in that. I could see Chris Ballard saying like, hey, we'll take on Carson Wentz. We'll give you a higher pick in this scenario, but give us back Dillard. Give us back Ertz. Give us back one of these pass rushers, like maybe one or two or three of these guys in this deal as well, because I could just see Chris Ballard being savvy enough where like, yeah, I'll take back Carson Wentz, take that gamble, but I want my future left tackle or add a pass rusher or add in Zach Ertz to really make a lethal combo with Jack Doyle. I mean, what do you think about the compensation off Kay's report there? It really makes a lot of sense that the Colts could be a team that really is intrigued by that option, because let's say you get Wentz, Dillard, and Ertz, and you give up a first-round pick, but also maybe take back a third-round pick in that as well. Like, that really intrigues me.
Yeah, that's a really interesting scenario. To get Wentz and then, you know, Ertz seems like he's on the way out. If you saw at the end of the last Philadelphia game, Ertz and Wentz were both hanging out on the field afterwards, and I think they were the only ones on the field. There might have been some, like maybe Kelsey was out there too, but it was just those two mainly. And so they've got a great relationship, as it were. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Philadelphia potentially move on from Wentz and Ertz specifically, and add in, when you look at the Colts contract situation, Colts are about to, Trey Burton is a free agent. Mo'Ali Cox is a free agent. I think they're going to sign Mo'Ali Cox or re-sign Mo'Ali Cox here at the Colts. But if you can take basically Trey Burton and replace him with Zach Ertz in this system, like that's a great upgrade there, because then you get a guy that really can be in line and is your reliable pass catcher as well. With experience with this quarterback, so you don't have to worry about, like you did with Phillip Rivers, trying to get the receivers acclimated. You at least have, you know, your tight end there that you feel comfortable with. If Chris Ballard can somehow also pull Andre Dillard out of this, if you give him time and coach him up, I feel like he also can be a great left tackle, or he doesn't even need to be a great left tackle. He just needs to be adequate, and good. Because you've got Quentin Nelson right there next to him. So you just need this guy to be good. And I think Andre Dillard, you know, if given the opportunity, could be that. Chris Ballard, I mean, shoot, we saw it this weekend in the Super Bowl. One of the big caveats to Tampa Bay winning, maybe the biggest reason why Tampa Bay won and were able to handle the Chiefs, was the pass rush. So being able to grab a couple edge rushers or even one edge rusher, if Chris Ballard could pull off this deal where he gets three players from Philadelphia and like Carson Wentz, Andre Dillard, Zach Ertz, and a pass rusher or something like that, some combination of those players for 21, and then he recoups a third round pick or something along those. Even if he doesn't recoup one of those, I would give up 21 for those four players. You know, Wentz, Ertz, who again, last year of his deal, who knows if he's going to play beyond that, Dillard, and a possible pass rusher. That would be, one of those really savvy moves by Chris Ballard that could pay off in spades, because all those guys have great talent. Again, you're able to add in pieces on this roster where really we've talked about all offseason thus far, three of the big three needs for the Colts right now are quarterback, left tackle, and edge rusher. If you can resolve those all in a single deal, I mean, goodness, it opens up so many doors for the Colts going into free agency and then into the draft.
Here's a hypothetical trade, Camp, with your Steven earlier today. I want to get your thoughts as well as the listeners' thoughts here after listening to this. But Wentz, Ertz, and Dillard, the three guys going back into steel, plus number 69 overall, their third round pick in the 2020 NFL draft. The Colts in that scenario, getting Wentz, Ertz, Dillard, and 69, send back 21, 117, their fourth round pick, a 2022 third round pick, and then Ben Banigou and Jack Doyle. So what do you think about that?
I'm not sure how Chris Ballard feels about Banigou. As a general matter, I like it because I think that you basically are taking Wentz, Ertz, Dillard, and then that third round pick. So basically you're flip-flopping that third round pick for the fourth round pick. So you move up around for the Colts there. So you're effectively trading those three guys for a first-round pick and a future fourth, and then Doyle and Banigou. Is that right?
Yeah, toss in. I tossed in a 2022 third, so pretty much just making up the compensation for the third back in the year before.
Okay. I wonder about the future pick, but I really don't know how Chris Ballard feels about Ben Banigou, because he talks about how defensive ends and pass rushers need time to develop, and that he, again, like I mentioned last week, how he took that veiled shot at the previous regime in trading away Jerry Hughes well before they should have. So I'm not sure that they would include Banigou in that scenario. I don't know if they'd have to, quite honestly. With Philadelphia, if they're not going to include a pass rusher on that side, then I'm not sure that they would include one or they would want one coming back. I think that right now Philadelphia recognizes that they are in a rebuilding mode, so they're probably looking more so for picks than they are necessarily for players. And I'm not sure whether they would take Doyle back. And again, for everybody listening, Evan's kind of throwing this on me, right? Some you're getting real life stream of consciousness thoughts on this trade idea. But if the Colts are able to get those three players in that third round pick, I have a lot of faith in Chris Ballard to be able to make the right decision. And I could see Chris Ballard in that situation using the first round pick in 2022 to trade back and then recoup that third round pick that they would have lost from the Eagles. And that's the thing. That's what Chris Ballard really likes to do, is recoup those future picks if he ever trades it. For example, when he traded up to get Jonathan Taylor in this most recent draft, he ended up dropping back in the third round and recouping a better pick in the fifth round than what he gave up to move up for Jonathan Taylor. And so it's one of those things where Chris Ballard likes to move around the draft board. So I wouldn't be against the future picks, because I think he'll go ahead and get those back somehow. The only question mark I would have in that trade scenario would be Banigou and whether Chris Ballard would even trade Jack Doyle, because they like Jack so much. They're in the locker room and everything like that. But in terms of the trade compensation, I think that it probably makes a lot of sense for the Colts, especially to get those big key pieces. And then being able to get that third round pick to really probably spend on a corner or a pass rusher or pass catcher for that matter.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, Colts fans. They have six new flavors to go along with the original 12, make 18 amazing flavors that include nut and non-nut flavors. Whether it be coconut, almond, raspberry, peanut butter, there's so many great options here at Built Bar. I actually just got a new shipment in a couple days ago. They're so good. Every single one of them is so good. They're covered 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. The Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy as well. You can lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, the Cookies and Cream Built Bar is 17 grams of protein, 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. A great tasting snack. That's how you're throughout the day, Colts fans. A free quote for next purchase of Built Bars while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The Locked On Podcast Network has your Super Bowl recap covered from every angle. After this podcast, listen to Locked On Today for the biggest storylines, Peacock and Williamson for the X's and O's, and check out Locked On Chiefs and Locked On Bucks for in-depth local expertise. Yeah, in this scenario, the Colts would have 54, 69, and 84 for their first three picks in the draft. Knowing Chris Bauer, how he loves those day two picks, that could be three immediate contributors at whatever position they want to target there at 54, 69, and 84. So definitely something to watch for there. We're going to talk a lot more about Carson Wentz, I imagine, Steven, in the next couple of days here as these rumors continue to percolate around the Colts. I can honestly see the Bears, and I'm getting Carson Wentz. There's a lot of smoke around the Bears with Carson Wentz. They have a desperate GM and head coach there in Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. So I'd probably put the Bears right now as the Bears to land Carson Wentz with all the connections now in Indianapolis with a team that probably knows how to finesse a team or two in trade negotiations. Chris Bowen's not going to get into a bidding war here. Just keep an eye on this Carson Wentz stuff. I think it makes a lot of sense. But let's talk about the second part of our show today, Steven, which is T.Y. Hilton. Very interesting stuff from Justina Anderson of ESPN today, who spoke to T.Y. Hilton over the phone, I imagine. And he said, here's a tweet here from Justina. Quote, just connected with Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, an impending unrestricted free agent. Quote, I'm 100% focused on my first free agency because I get to make that decision, end quote. On if he wants to return to Indy, Hilton told me, quote, gotta work both ways, end quote. On if he feels the Colts want him back, he added, quote, yeah, I think they do, unquote. I don't know about, maybe I'm reading between the lines a little too much here, Steve, but it feels like to me that obviously this is something that Ursay's mentioned, something that Chris Bowers mentioned before last month, that it seems to me like they want T.Y. Hilton back, but at the right price. But I feel like T.Y. Hilton, this would be the first time he actually enters into free agency on his own because they signed an extension, I believe, the year before he was going to have free agency with his rookie contract. I think Grixon inked that deal before he got fired a year later. But you have to think here, T.Y. obviously being in the last bit of his career, he's probably got about two or three good years left, maybe less than that, who knows. But he had a very inconsistent 2020. He turned it on late in the year. But the quote that stands out to me about from Josina here, Steven, on if he wants to return to Indy, Hilton told me, gotta work both ways. And Ballard's mentioned the price has to be right. Ursay's mentioned the price has to be right. I get the feeling here that maybe T.Y. wants more money than the Colts willing to pay him. But what do you think about the situation?
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Honestly, it sounds like T.Y. is got a price tag set in his head, and his agent has a price tag set in his head, and the Colts have said, okay, well, that's a really good price tag. Go see if you can get it somewhere. And that's Chris Ballard's kind of mantra to free agency is Chris Ballard has a price. And it's exactly what we talked about early in the show. Chris Ballard has a price and he's not going to go over it. He's not going to bid against himself. He's not going to overspend. He's going to set a value and he's going to stick with it. And I know for Colts fans, sometimes that can be frustrating, but it really makes for a good general manager. Because you don't get yourself into bad contracts. It's one of those reasons why the Colts will have salary cap space to pay their own players when the time comes to pay it. Just everybody remember, we've got the Colts have Braden Smith, Darius Leonard, both coming up for contract extensions here the next year. You got Quentin Nelson with a fifth-year option that needs to be, you know, assessed. You're going to have Ryan Kelly just got redone, but you're going to have some of the guys in the secondary coming up with Kyrie Willis. Bobby Okereke here in 2 years is going to need to get an extension added on there. You're going to have to do something at the cornerback position. So there's money that's going to need to be spent. And Chris Ballard, if the player thinks that he's worth more, then Chris Ballard tells him, go for it. Go get your money because your career is short. So you need to get paid everything you can. This is all I can afford to pay you. And if you can get more than that elsewhere, then absolutely do it. If you can't, come back to us. Here's our offer. And so I think that's honestly the most respectful way to do free agency. And I know that really upsets some players because they think that they are worth more than what they are valued, what the organization might put a value on them. So I can understand why T.Y. Hilton would say something like that to Justina Anderson. But at the end of the day, I think it's really the right thing for T.Y. Hilton, his family, to really kind of get an opportunity to see what's out there. And if he doesn't like it, he's welcome back there with the Colts at the price tag that they had set.
You told us before on the show, Stephen, about T.Y. I think before the season ended, I think in November, December, we talked about T.Y. a couple of times, and we both agreed at that point that I think it might be in the Colts' best interest that the price tag is too high to move off from T.Y. just because he's been inconsistent the last couple of years without an elite quarterback in Andrew Luck. He obviously had a really good November-December run, but he disappeared in Buffalo. He didn't do much in that game. You have Michael Pittman Jr. on board. You have Paris Campbell on board, who's of course been injured. He hasn't proved much in the NFL just yet, but we saw the potential in week one and week two this year. We saw it in a couple games last year as well. It sounds like Ballard and Reich love Zach Pascal. I mean, they even brought – they're definitely bring back Zach Pascal, who's your restricted free agent here in 2021. So I would not be shocked if we get a Pascal deal here soon as far as a contract extension goes with Pascal. They seem very confident in this wide receiver core. You also have Desmond Patman. You have Ashton Doolin as developmental guys. I imagine if they let T.Y. walk in the scenario too, Stephen, they'll probably take a wide receiver on day two or early day three as well to add some more depth there. I mean, I feel like, honestly, the Colts feel like T.Y. is not exactly a high priority here, which I wouldn't blame if that's the case because he has lost a couple steps. Even Chris Bauer mentioned that he's not the same T.Y. he was 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, I feel like from the sentiment I got from watching Chris Bauer's season in press conference, Stephen, that if T.Y. were to leave, they feel comfortable with what they have on board here, and I imagine they would probably add someone in free agency or the draft to add into that as well. Like, it would not shock me at all if some team like the Redskins or the Eagles with Sirianni on board there, maybe you throw in the Chiefs or one of these other teams that maybe wants to spend on a wide receiver, it would not shock me if they let T.Y. walk for the value he wants to get. The Colts don't offer what he wants. They say goodbye to him. They have this debt behind him. They could have Paris Campbell break out in 2021. You got Michael Pittman Jr. be your number one receiver next year. Or you could add a guy free agency to the draft as well to compete with that. It just feels like to me, Stephen, like they're set up very well, honestly. I mean, not, I wouldn't say very well, but very good in my opinion. That let's say Pittman or Campbell breaks out, or if they add a guy in the draft, like safe to say T.Y. is not exactly a big priority for them. They're not going to offer him a big money contract.
No, I don't think they are. I think that's why you saw the tweet from Justina Anderson with the T.Y. Hilton quote is because the Colts are – they're not lowballing them. They just put the hem at where they think the market is. I could honestly – I know T.Y. Hilton said before the season that he only intends to play for the Colts or retire or something along those lines. I think he'll probably end up playing somewhere else next year, quite honestly. And it, because NFL agents get the best for their clients in most situations, and he's going to have a couple suitors out there. I mean, he's still got some juice left into him. And if he can get, you know, $2-3 million more from another team, or he goes down to play for some team in Florida that there's no state income tax, he gets a little bit more money there, then I think that's something that he and his family should really consider. And it's nothing against T.Y. Hilton. I've loved watching him as a Colts fan for the past, you know, 8 years. But there comes a time where in every football player's life, that's the mantra, father time is undefeated. And it just seems like T.Y. Hilton has slowed down without, and he seems to have struggled without an elite quarterback behind under center. So that's really kind of the tough part with T.Y. Hilton. Is he a product of the quarterback that he's got, or is he really that an elite of a player? I personally think he's an elite player, but at the same time, he's clearly lost a step from what he was. He's not quite the same ghost that we knew. And so hopefully, you know, he can get that back, and maybe there was some kind of injury or ding up over the season and that just slowed him down a little bit. Or maybe the Colts re-sign him and maybe they make a trade for Carson Wentz and he has a resurgence, which is what I think all Colts fans really hope for. But I think realistically, T.Y. Hilton's going to test the market and he's probably going to get a better offer from some other team.
Stephen, appreciate the time as always. We always have you on the show. I know our listeners enjoy having you on as well. We're going to obviously talk more through the situation with T.Y. Hilton, obviously talk more about the situation with Carson Wentz, whatever the QB situation might be. You guys go follow Steven on Twitter if you're not already at Nice Read Steve, and go read and listen to his work as always over on Stampede Blue. Really appreciate the time, Steven.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.